let's get right to it. Hour number three. And I don't know if I should have sent this to Dr. Henry Nyman. He's standing by right now. But if you get a chance, do look at the headlines and read the story about Jerry Kushner, who has set up his own coronavirus task force outside of his father-in-law's official interior governmental White House coronavirus task force. And people don't know who to go to. So once again, Jerry has taken a large piece of the mantle for his own. Who's running whom? Interesting question. The headlines themselves speak for themselves. There are a lot of things up there to consider. The Donald today, apparently, I don't watch these daily briefings. Henry usually takes a look at them. But he warned of what he called horrific days to come. Capital H, horrific. And yet just 4 weeks ago or so, on the 28th of February, he was calling this the Democrat hoax. He hopes people don't remember that. Second story up tonight. 11 times Trump has mocked and belittled coronavirus and the threat it has brought to the, the future of this nation, quite frankly. We don't know how far this is going to go. The Chinese announced today that they have found the virus staying quite alive and active in one patient for 47 days, 46, anyway, 49 days. China finds new coronavirus strain that lasts for 49 days in an infected patient. So as I've been saying from the beginning, it doesn't go away. It stays for dinner and then it moves in. It doesn't leave the next morning or the next week. This is a bad one. And for those people who continue to push the idea that the virus is a hoax, that it doesn't really exist, that it's just the flu, I just wonder how many people, innocent people, are going to pay a terrible price for believing that stuff. And just because the exterior views of hospitals don't show crowds of people trying to break in who are fighting coronavirus doesn't mean the hospitals don't have a heavy caseload. Remember, there's a request in most states that you stay home so people aren't hanging around in hospitals. In fact, a lot of elective surgeries and procedures have been flat canceled. They're not being done. Anyhow, there's a lot going on. Do take a look at the headlines. And I would also urge you to watch what is called a video of David Goldberg's final words. David Goldberg, whoever he was allegedly murdered shortly thereafter. And he made this tape. Interesting. It's interesting. Let me just leave it on the table as an interesting thing for you to look at. Make up your own mind. The Dow Jones today fell almost another 1,000 points. They can't keep propping up this corpse much longer. It's a joke. 975 more points gone today. I guess they can if they just continue to create money out of nothing, which is what they do. All right, lots of things to report on, to discuss. There are 160,000 coronavirus tests backlogged in just one U.S. public health laboratory. A 10-day wait at minimum to get the test results. I'll say it again. 160,000 coronavirus tests backlogged at one public health lab in this country. That's a CNN story. All right, let's bring on our guest of the hour, Dr. Henry Nyman, who has informed more people about more important information than anyone else on this planet since this thing began. Welcome back, Henry.
Well, Jeff, it's good to be back. A lot of news going on. Just a little bit more detail on a couple of the headlines you gave. The backlog company is Quest. Quest is a large diagnostic company. Actually, that's the company that did my swine flu test back in the day. And one of the companies like LabCorp where you see their little containers outside of their doctor's office and they go and they you know, leave the sample in that container, and the Quest comes and picks it up, takes it to their lab,
I see.
Gets the results, and emails it in, and they're nationwide, and you gave the number. I don't know what it was. 160,000.
160,000. That's the report.
With a 10-day wait. Right. Yeah. So they just became overwhelmed with the number of requests, and that's still a problem. As far as the diagnostics are concerned, and I gave the story of family members, one of which still hasn't been tested, even though he would be tested now. But I said he was too sick to go get tested, and actually he ended up getting hospitalized today. So he still hasn't been tested. He's got double pneumonia. He's got all the symptoms.
If he dies before he's tested, will they bother testing and put him in the official statistics, or just call it double pneumonia and that's it?
I don't know. That question kind of came up on Cuomo's press conference today. They asked what they did with fatalities, whether they did test them. And the answer was that generally, they will test because they're concerned about contacts, and this contacts being infected. And if they do test and it's positive, then it is included in the statistics.
I see.
I don't know if they're gonna test, my relative or not. He did get, driven by ambulance to the hospital. And so, they certainly could have got a sample. Like I say, I don't know if it's got a 10-day wait, that is not probably going to do that much good. I mean, there's no doubt that he's infected. They did do, a CT scan, and he's got pneumonia in both lungs, and they're keeping him there. But, and he's in New Jersey, and like I said, his wife and daughter are positive, and another son. Actually, the other son doesn't live with him, but he's with his wife, and they both are symptomatic and have contacts that are positive. So there's quite a bit of it in New Jersey, as you know, and so. It wasn't really that much of a surprise, but he still hasn't been tested, and I don't know if they took a sample when they had him there in the ER or not. But anyway, that was just an update there. And then the Quest has that big backlog. Oh, and then the other one, as far as basically anybody that at this stage that doesn't believe it's real, it doesn't matter how much information you get there. But there is a media report that FEMA was sending 250 ambulances to New York. The 911's backed up. You're basically on hold unless you have a heart attack or have breathing difficulties. And in addition to the 250 ambulances, they were sending refrigerated trailers. And the refrigerated trailers is not for cold storage of food. So they have so many bodies that they have to bring in multiple trailers. And
Pentagon is asking for 100,000... 100,000 body bags. Yeah.
And on Rikers Island, they're paying prisoners $6 an hour and free PPEs. And why do you think they're paying them $6 an hour?
They dig mass burial pits. That's why, and burying bodies.
Yep. So, there's... there's a lot of evidence that it isn't the flu or whatever these.
Yeah, it's not just the flu. The Pentagon's order, Henry, for 100,000.
Their imaginary universe here.
No, 100,000 body bags ordered by the Pentagon today for civilians, not military. 100,000.
Right.
That's minimal. All right. You may need a lot more than that. I'm also wondering about these 250 ambulances. The ambulance crews, the health professionals that run them, are they giving them PPEs, full PPEs, or not?
Well,
that's another question.
No, I can answer you that the ambulance did pick up my relative, and all they had were masks on. They had virtually limited, nothing as far as PPEs were concerned. And they've got, I don't know what the number is, like 1,000 are already infected, either first responders, I think, are in that category. And an ER physician in New Jersey died today. And so it's a it's not a good situation. And it's actually going to get worse. Cuomo, in his press conference, originally had the peak for New York being 2 weeks from today or 2 weeks from yesterday or whatever. And now they moved the peak to the end of the month. So they don't expect the cases to peak for another 30 days or so. And so the numbers in New York, they keep on going up. And as a result of New York and several other states now, the U.S., sets new records every day today. The good news was Italy seems to be starting to fall a little bit as far as the number of new deaths. And today they only because it's relative to what they've had previously, they had 727 deaths. So they had gotten up to around 900 or so. So the fact they only had 727 is an indication that if it continues, that they may have, hit their peak and maybe starting to drop after, some extensive programs to kind of limit contacts there. And, but then Spain has kind
locking
of.
Locking down the whole country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Spain has, kind of taken over their place as being number one. They had 923 today. So they're at that high level that, Italy had been at. And then, Spain mostly has, the strain from Italy, and, that's in multiple countries in Europe. And that includes France, who reported over 500 deaths today. And now the UK actually reported 563 deaths today. So those two are up in the, 500 or more category. And it was a big deal not that long ago when, Italy got up to, I think 375 was kind of a, or might have been 475, but it was less than 500, and that was a big deal, and that wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. And now these two, France and UK, are both over 500. But of course, number one is the USA. We've got 966 today, so we actually had more deaths today. So we're up to about 1,000 deaths today now. And so that projection that, 100 to 200,000 or possibly as low as 80,000, doesn't seem very far off, as far as getting to that level. The U.S., at least according to this BNO tracker, got up to 5,000 today. So we got 5,000 deaths. There were over 25,000 new cases today. And we're up to 213,000, which is over 100,000 higher than the number two position is Italy. So you know, the metrics are continue to go up pretty dramatically. And some of the states, you know, Florida finally, the governor finally put, you know, lockdown to the entire state not that long ago. Of course, they had the college students in on spring break, and they had the beaches open, and then they closed some of the beaches, but you could just go a little further north up the coast where there were beaches open. And so finally they closed those today. A few other, states, closed their entire states. There still are some states that don't have a lockdown yet. And, you know, all of this is, raising questions as to, you know, how likely it is that the U.S. is going to meet this optimal, you know, this low level, you know, 100 to 200,000, if they do everything right. And, they've already kind of passed that. Everything right at a minimum is to lock down the whole country, and that hasn't been achieved yet. So that's clearly not optimal. And Florida actually announced that everything was getting locked down, but it doesn't go into effect for, I think, till tomorrow night or so. So they're right. Still not locked down, even though they've announced that they are.
Right.
And Florida had 1,000 new cases today. So it's kind of moving right along. It's
remember, these new cases, ladies and gentlemen, are not with full testing of the populace.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
They're not testing everybody and coming up with 1,000 cases. They might be testing 2,000 and coming up with 1,000 cases. We don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's probably not that high a frequency, but
no, I understand point.
But they're not. Yeah, they definitely aren't testing everybody. They interviewed the governor of Michigan today. Michigan got 1,700 cases today, so Michigan has moved right up to California. There, it actually moved past California. It looks like California got a few more. So Michigan's got 9,000 total, and California's got 9,700. And they are, you know, Michigan's got 337 deaths so far. And they're almost up to New Jersey. New Jersey's got 355. So the numbers are going up pretty quickly. New Jersey today alone added 88 deaths, and Michigan did 78 deaths. And there's concern that New Orleans is going to, you know, explode. They added over 1,000 cases today. There are only 34 deaths. But
you explained the other night why Louisiana was so volatile. What happened in Louisiana?
Louisiana had Mardi Gras. They had Mardi Gras, and, you know, there were like over a million people there, and, you know, the French Quarter is all pretty cramped in there anyway. So, you know, there's wall-to-wall bodies, and then, you know, they do the beads and throw the beads. You know, you're able to kind of move the virus from person to person just by sharing objects like that. And it's, it's just, you know, an opportunity for the virus to spread. And, they had quite a few younger people, that were, severely, affected. And the concern is that those numbers are going to explode. It's the same thing with Michigan. It's by Detroit. They, like I said, there are 1,700. And they say there are probably more cases. They just don't have enough kits. And so there's a shortage on kits now, even though, you know, all these announcements were made with all these, new kits coming, and, most of them didn't materialize. There's something like 6 million kits or something. They were supposed to arrive, and they said they were shipped, but something was missing, so they couldn't really use them. And then other ones, there's a 15-minute kit by Abbott, I think, or Roche. I'm not sure which. But anyway, it's a 15-minute kit, but labs aren't really set up to use those yet, and they're kind of used to sending it to whatever commercial lab or whatever source they're using now. So, it takes a while for them to kind of shift gears. And then I mentioned this before, that one of the limitations on the kits is simply collecting the samples that the doctors really don't want to do it in their doctor's offices, so they set up these.
Yeah, don't come here for a test. No.
And those are limited. You see the sites are opened up and the cars are backed up for miles. I don't know how long a wait it is. So they're.
Well, remember what happened in New Rochelle? It was 30 minutes. They ran out of materials to do the tests. I don't know if that's happening elsewhere, but they tell you if you have symptoms, call your doctor. That's what the CDC is saying. If you have symptoms, call your doctor. And what Henry just said is very important. Your doctor doesn't want to see you if you have symptoms.
Right.
Believe it.
Right.
That's the truth.
Right. And a lot of the testing, they actually need a prescription from the doctor. So, they don't tell you to see your doctor. They say to call your doctor. So you call your doctor and you give them your symptoms. And then most of the sites, basically require that you have a cough, that you have a fever, and that you have breathing difficulties. And so, once you get to the breathing difficulties, you're pretty far along. So a lot of people, are going to have the virus and haven't gotten to the breathing difficulty level yet. They've got a fever, they've got a cough, and now it's getting increasingly likely that with those symptoms, you probably have the virus because, we're at the tail end of the flu season now. So the likelihood that you've got flu is getting less and less by the day. Mm-hmm. And the likelihood you have one of the other more common respiratory diseases is also on the decline. And that's what happened, with swine flu. Once you got to April and May, then seasonal flu was gone. And if you, took an influenza A test and it was positive, it meant you had swine flu back then because that was the only influenza A type that was circulating. Seasonal flu was gone, both H1N1 and H3N2, and it was just swine flu was the only thing that was circulating. And so it's getting to be more like that for the coronavirus. And so it's like it's easier to figure out who should be tested, but it doesn't mean that they've got the kits to actually do the testing. And, and the sites, there were supposed to be all these Walmart parking lots were supposed to do that. I mean, I've seen multiple sites. I have yet to see one that's in a Walmart parking lot. So these were another promises made. And then, I did watch the White House press conference and it was
now
hard
to take. You're a tougher man than I.
The first half wasn't even on coronavirus. Trump decided there was way too much bad news on that front. He really had nothing good to say. I mean, the tests still aren't there. People can't get tested. If they do get tested, it shows that the virus is everywhere and on the rise. And then they ask questions about why isn't the whole country locked down? How do you expect the social distancing to work where you've got, some states that have no restrictions? And, I mentioned before, you can go from state to state. And, it just doesn't work, on the lockdown. So he brought out the military. And you kind of saw this, and you saw all these people in uniform coming, you know, coming out. I mean, it's a procession. You know, they come out and they all stand there and wait around for him to make his appearance. And, you know, it's all right. Perfectly orchestrated. And they're all there because he's decided that he's going to launch a war on drugs. Not the kind of drugs that they're useful in the pandemic, but he's worried
about
the drug
cartels. You mean he went back to that same old dead war horse, the phony war on drugs?
No, he expanded it. He's putting battleships in the Gulf of Mexico.
He's moving
battleships in. And, you know, it's not really, you know, just the war on drugs. You know, the cartels are going to take advantage of the fact that we're busy with the coronavirus. So they got these plans to increase their smuggling. And I don't know what the battleships are doing as far as smuggling is concerned.
Warships.
In any event, then he says, well, it's not, you know, unrelated to the pandemic, because this way they can stop people from coming across the border bringing the virus. Kind of like the U.S. has more virus than any country in the world. you know, the more people they bring in from Mexico, they'll lower the frequency of viruses in the United States, because whoever's coming in here is much less likely to have virus than the border guards that are keeping them out. And the people in Texas or California, wherever they're supposed to be invading. And then he brought up the wall. You want to talk about what kind of progress he's got going on the wall. And this is in the middle of a pandemic. So, I mean, pandemic is bad news. So instead of the pandemic, he's going to talk about the wall. He's going to talk about the military launching a new offensive on the drug cartels. And they're going to do it with warships in the Gulf of Mexico. And it was, like I said, it is hard to take. And that was the first part, and by then half of the stations switched. You know, they will come back if they start talking about the pandemic. You know, they're tired of this wag the dog story coming up with this diversion. Like everybody's focused on the pandemic. They can't go to work. They can't. I mean, Cuomo shut down the parks today because the numbers keep on going up, and there's still too much contact. And so he's worried about children in the parks. He's worried about basketball games in the parks, and so he closed down the parks just in the city. You know, not throughout the state or anything, but in the city, because it was just too densely populated in the parks there, and the people were not really.
All right, let me do something else here. How many cases do we have now, approximately, in the country? Round number. What is it?
Round number is about 215,000.
All right. I'm going to read a short email I got from one of our wonderful listeners out there. And this is short, but it makes a point. And there are people listening right now who are infected. Mr. Rents, this is from Kayla. Mr. Rents, I wanted to let you know that my boyfriend and I have just tested positive for the virus. We were tested Sunday, and the result came in yesterday. I attach a screenshot taken from my insurance site showing the result. So far, my symptoms are very mild. For me, this is nothing more than a cold, a stuffy nose, and some sneezing. For my boyfriend, it's more severe, but no more severe than any flu he has had in the past, and he seems to be doing okay. So it seems like it affects different people differently. We are currently quarantined together in my apartment, and everything seems to be okay, and he seems to be recovering well. My symptoms are so mild that I really haven't been impaired substantially at all, while he has the equivalent of the flu. Had this all not been going on, we would have just thought it was a cold and the flu. I'm not saying these experiences will be shared by everybody. This is just one data point for you to consider. Thanks, Kayla. Well, thank you, Kayla, and best wishes to both you and your boyfriend. This is just one of so many stories. 80% of the people are going to recover, or more, who knows, 80% at least.
Yeah,
20% are going to be dealing with really very serious issues, apparently.
Right,
go ahead,
right.
Henry.
They'll end up in the hospital, but 80%, you know, have different levels of flu, but none of which, you know, flu-like symptoms, but
right.
None of which are at the level where they have to be hospitalized, and they won't develop pneumonia, and they might have something mild, as was described in the letter, or they might have something like, you know, a serious flu-like symptoms. I mean, they,
right.
You know, they're tired, they're in bed, and it might last 10 days, and they've got a fever, you know, not necessarily for 10 days, probably for a few of the days. And they'll feel, you know, achy, and they'll have flu-like symptoms, and they'll feel like a bad flu, but it won't be a flu so bad that they'll develop pneumonia and they'll have breathing difficulties and they'll get admitted to the hospital. They'll end up, you know, staying at home and hopefully staying inside and then recovering over, you know, a period of time that's going to vary. I mean, we talked about some of the early clusters like the one in Germany. Most of those were similar. They some were asymptomatic. They were tested because they were contacts, and others had very mild symptoms and just were quarantined at home. They didn't go into the hospital, and it resolved over X number of days. It might have been 2 or 3 days. More likely, it was, you know, 5 to 10 days. But they recovered And basically, if there wasn't all of the, you know, concerns about the virus, if they had those symptoms without the concerns, they probably wouldn't have even gone to the doctor. They wouldn't have gotten tested for anything. They would have just thought they had the flu. And they would have, it would have resolved and possibly, you know, at the beginning and the end, they might have gone to school or gone to work and just figured it's not that bad. They're probably not contagious, and they really don't feel that bad. It was only at the peak where, you know, they decided they should rest in bed. They didn't really feel like doing anything other than resting
right.
And keeping hydrated. And that's what this is. I mean, everybody doesn't end up in the hospital, and everybody doesn't end up on a ventilator, and everybody doesn't die. You know, but a relatively high percentage do. And I mean, that's one of the controversies with China. China pretty much kept the original definition for SARS, so they didn't really test anybody that didn't have pneumonia, and. And they didn't count anybody that wasn't pneumonia. So that is one of the reasons that the numbers are lower.
That these
milder cases that basically had symptoms or they were contacts, they weren't testing them. But and even if they were testing them, they weren't counting them as cases. They were using the original case definition, and the original case definition was that you had pneumonia, and that's typically how these severe diseases go. I mean, they use a case fatality rate because they want to know what the likelihood of dying if you end up going in the hospital. They're not looking at what the likelihood of dying is if you've got, you know, flu-like symptoms without any pneumonia, because that's essentially zero. People don't die because they have a mild, you know, flu-like illness that doesn't require hospitalization. they resolve. It's self-limiting, and they don't need medication. They don't right. need to be under a doctor's supervision, and they don't need to be in the hospital. So, it's really the severe cases that causes the concern, and that's, related to age and underlying conditions as far as severity and likelihood of death. And it does seem that in some of these instances, males, for whatever reason, seem to be somewhat higher risk as far as getting the complications and getting the more severe disease. And that's just the way it is. And it's really not that different than SARS. It's a very closely related virus, and it has a lot of the same characteristics. This seems to be more contagious. This seems to go to more organs. This has this polybasic cleavage site. So there are some things about this virus that make it a more lethal, virulent variant of SARS. But the problem is that because of those characteristics, there's a lot more of it. And, the comparison, the United States has 1,000 deaths in one day. That's more deaths than the entire SARS outbreak. They had like 770 or something. So
people don't remember that. Thanks for pointing that out.
It was well under 1,000. And this is, we had 1,000 Americans died today, and that number is not going down anytime soon. They're still going straight up. It's not bending and kind of leveling off. And for New York, it's based upon, they basically redo the model each day after they got another day's worth of data.
Right.
The new model is that it's not going to peak until the end of this month. And that's not saying it's going to be over at the end of this month. That's saying that that's going to be the peak demand on the hospitals. And that's still going to be a problem, even though New York has been actively working at getting ventilators. They're still going to have issues. They've got healthcare workers that are getting infected already. They've got a 911 backed up so that the hospitals are having issues, and they had almost 400 deaths since the same time yesterday in the state, and those numbers are going to be going up, and it's going to be going up in these other states. And some of these may be changing. A couple examples that are held out as models where the contact tracing was fairly aggressive, and the states were locked down in California and Washington State, and their curves are quite a bit different than New York's curve. They're much flatter, and they haven't been changing that dramatically. But sequence wise, they really had more this ORF-A lineage that I described previously was definitely dominant in Seattle. That's really about all they had. They had that flu project, and they've sequenced about 400 sequences now. And they were all exclusively that Seattle version. And that accounted for most of the, a good portion anyway, of the sequences in Northern California. And recently, they're starting to get the Italian version in both of those locations. So it wouldn't surprise me if they end up getting a resurgence and the Italian version starts taking over from the ORF-A version. And it is more virulent, and it would make a bigger impact on hospitalizations, and deaths would start kind of going up again. And And that's also going to be augmented by the number of nursing homes. I mean, that was one of the things that started with Washington State. It was in one nursing home, and then it was a chain, so it ended up going to other nursing homes as part of that chain. But now it's kind of been nursing homes across the country.
They're tearing them up. The nursing homes are going to be a very bad venue for this before it's all over. They all are.
Yeah, and then it's got the potential of going into prisons, it's going into the homeless shelters, and so there are a lot of vulnerable groups out there that are going to end up sooner or later, and probably sooner, because the numbers are starting to go up in multiple states, and once the numbers start going up, they start spreading out, and that's part of the reason you really need a national lockdown. I mean, that was one of the questions they asked Trump. And he said, well, you know, all there are different areas of the country that, you know, aren't really as bad as other areas are. And, you know, for instance, he said, look at Alaska. You know, Alaska wouldn't be as big of a concern as, you know, New York City. And then somebody pointed out that, Alaska's got 133 cases with 3 deaths. I mean, it's not like it isn't in Alaska. And, that number's steadily going up. I mean, the latest I've got, I don't think I've got today's, but as of yesterday, they had 133 cases with 3 deaths. Friday, they had 69 cases and 1 death. So they've doubled since Friday. So in less than a week, they've gone from 70 to 130, probably 140 by now. And so if they're going to be doubling every 5 or 6 days, all of a sudden they're going to be at 500 cases in a week or so, a week and a half. Mm-hmm. And that's Alaska. So it's not like there's any place. And that's not just Alaska. That's Alaska that confirmed cases. I mean, the same thing happened. You know, if you remember, the last state to have a positive was West Virginia. And, you know, they kind of said, well, what's going on with West Virginia? You know, there's cases, you know, in every state around West Virginia, by definition. Everybody had about West Virginia and the entire country. Uh-huh. And they said, well, we didn't have any cases because we didn't do much testing. And now that they started testing, today they're up to, probably yesterday still, they're up to 162 cases with 1 death. And Friday, they were at 76. So, you know, just like Alaska, they've doubled in less than a week. And they're up to 160, and they'll be up to 500 cases in a week, a week and a half. So it's across the entire country. And these numbers that are going up are in spite of not really having a whole lot of kids. And you know, they're probably less likely to be out of kits because they're only getting 20, 30 positives a day. So they're probably, you know, doing 200 tests a day. And 200 tests, you know, isn't going to be that much of a strain in contrast to, New York that's doing 16,000 tests a day.
Let me ask you a question. This is important. Trump has gone back and forth on the mask issue, as has his Surgeon General and others. Right. And the other day he said,
but he's sticking with the scarves.
Yeah, that's right. He told everyone, let them eat cake. You've got scarves. Yeah. Use a scarf. Right. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's what he said. But he said, maybe it might come to pass that every American should have a mask. He actually said that. He didn't say it was going to be policy, but he said it. Which is interesting because the Asian countries did that. Now, my question to you is rather hypothetical, but let's say that Trump had been a real leader and a real president, and in January ordered under the DPA, he could see this coming. His intelligence briefings were clear. He ordered the production of hundreds of millions of masks so everybody would have access to them.
Right.
And they'd have them by now. If everybody had masks now and were possibly having the option of wearing gloves, if they, gloves are easier to make, and they were out with masks and gloves, could we have avoided all of these lockdowns?
I don't think it would do that much. I mean, the masks are, again, more for people that are infected from it going from them out into the air as far as...
To other people, that's right.
As far as other people are concerned, they kind of say that if you're going to be out and about, you know, you probably should do it because, you know, there are conditions where the virus can be airborne. And
so
it's not that they're of no benefit. They are a benefit, but I don't know that they're of the enough benefit to stop a virus like this, because this virus, you know, it has a high R naught or R zero, and it's kind of like with the swine flu. I mean, there really weren't attempts to control the swine flu. It was kind of just assumed that it's a flu, and they've never really been able to control flu, even if they've got a vaccine and even if they've got antivirals that, you know, some of the flu seasons are higher and some flu seasons are lower, but it's not like, right. It looks like we're not going to have any flu this season, or flu is gone and it's not coming back. So, and this virus has got a R naught higher than flu. So the likelihood of really stopping it, like you said, everybody in Asia wears a mask, and the mask did not stop this virus in Asia. You know, it wasn't limited to Wuhan, and it wasn't limited to Hubei province. I mean, that's where it was concentrated, and that's where most of the cases were. But it did go out to the to other countries in China, and they basically got the virus under control with a very severe lockdown. I mean, they had lockdown so that, you know, they organized food delivery. So you were to stay in your house or apartment, and they would bring you the food, so you wouldn't be going out to supermarkets or whatever and doing it on your own. And then they had, you know, a lot of taking the temperature wherever you went. Your temperature was taken. And if you had a temperature, then you were taken off to like a fever clinic. So you were quarantined and segregated and put in, you know, a separate area until you, you know, A, your fever went away, and B, you tested negative for the virus. So they were very aggressive on keeping the virus under wraps and preventing the spread. And, you know, when they announced that they were going to quarantine Wuhan, a lot of, you know, people left town, like 5 million or so.
That's right.
And in spite of that, they were still able to get it under control because it wasn't immediate. It took a couple of months, but it took more than just masks. Everybody had the mask. They actually required, you know, wearing of a mask. They had drones that flew around and kind of, you know, they saw you walking on the street without a mask. They said, "Where's your mask? Go back inside or go get your mask or something."
Sometimes they beat the hell out of people too. We saw that.
Right. So I mean, they were policing things, and they were at a level that, you know, you probably would not see in the United States, but it's really dramatically different than in the U.S. I mean, it's fairly voluntary here. It still isn't nationwide. it's still got, you know, essential services. So there's still a fair number of people that are going to work. There's, you know, locations on the East Coast where, you know, like New York City, where a significant number of people don't even have automobiles. They're depending upon mass transportation. And even if they are wearing a mask, they're certainly not, you know, 6 feet away from the person next to them. They're holding on to the same handrails, when they're in the subways. And in New York, they were complaining there's too many people in the park. So even the ones that weren't going to work and were just doing recreation, they were still getting too close. So these numbers, you know, 100 to 200,000 dead and kind of peaking within a month, you know, those are optimal conditions which at this time do not exist in the United States. And so there is every reason to believe that the 100 or 200,000 deaths is a overly optimistic number, which will not be achieved. And the numbers will be higher, and it's certainly not going to be over in a month. So it's going to be more of the same, unfortunately. Or it's going to be worse. It's not going to be more of the
will.
Same. It's going to be
a
continuation of the deterioration.
Okay. Thank you, Henry. Again, talk to you tomorrow night. We'll keep watching it. It's pretty explosive, to put it mildly.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Take care.
Be well.
I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Dr. Henry Nyman, PhD, and yours truly. We'll be back tomorrow night. Hope all of you join us. Have a good day. Have a safe day. And use common sense. Talk soon.